This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 4th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at what determines sexuality, the first in a series of reports on DNA. We'll also have a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser, first to look at today's news. Nearly $500 million remains tied up in a state legislative battle at the Illinois Capitol. There's growing pressure on the state Senate president to make sure the money goes where it was intended. Sean Crawford reports.
Chanting, "Allow the vote," labor groups, community service agencies, and others pack the Capitol's rotunda to demand Senate President Emil Jones take action. Jones has indicated he won't allow lawmakers to override the governor's budget vetoes, but his members are feeling the heat of cuts to programs for children, the elderly, and the disabled. One of those members, Champaign Democrat Mike Frerich, says the senators are letting Jones know as well.
I think that's been conveyed in individual conversations, in caucuses we've had, and some people I think have even put it in writing.
It's difficult to tell if that's having an impact on Jones, who's been vague in recent days when asked if he'll allow an override vote. The House voted this week to restore the money, but both chambers must agree or otherwise the governor's cuts stand. Blagojevich made the cuts to pay for health care expansions that he wants. I'm Sean Crawford.
A Champaign County Board committee has decided to wait until January before taking up the issue of whether to support a merger of the city and county public health agencies. The policy committee wants time to gather more information on how an agency merger might work. Committee members heard opposition to the idea last night from officials with the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. The interim executive director there, Julie Pride, said the idea was an apparent response to the scandal surrounding her predecessor, Vito Palazzolo, who was fired amid allegations of improper use of district funds.
This, to me, is a lot of, piling on. God knows we've had a rough year, and we've been in the paper plenty, but that has nothing whatsoever to do with the staff at that agency.
But County Public Health Department Board Chairman Julian Rappaport says a merger is worth looking into. Rappaport says his board contracts with the CU Public Health District for nearly all of the county's health services, and he says that creates problems.
Structurally, there is a problem when the relationship between the County Board of Health and the CU PhD is so wholly dependent upon the personality of an individual administrator.
Rappaport said despite those concerns, he's happy with Julie Pride and the CU PhD staff. The policy committee delayed action on a proposal to ask the two public health agencies to study a possible merger. The county board does not have the authority to force that merger, though. The Democratic chairman of the county board is nominating a Republican to serve as supervisor of assessments. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Champaign County Board Chairman Pius Weibel says County Board of Review Chairman and Republican Stan Jenkins is his choice to be the new supervisor of assessments. Jenkins would succeed Democrat Kurt Diedrich, whose appointment along largely party lines in 2004 ended last June with a forced resignation amid charges of misconduct. Weibel says he doesn't think party affiliation is an important factor in picking the supervisor of assessments. He says Jenkins has the experience, training, and temperament to be an effective supervisor. He hopes his fellow Democrats think the same way.
I expect Mr. Jenkins to get the vote of the board. I'm confident that it'll be more than just a simple majority. But I think there will be some people who will vote against him for various reasons.
Jenkins' nomination won the unanimous endorsement of the County Board Policy Committee last night with two Democrats absent. The full Champaign County Board will take its vote in 2 weeks. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Teachers, cooks, and custodians in the Monticello School District have voted to ratify a new contract by an overwhelming margin. That's the word from Monticello Education Association President Kristen McMullen.
I think generally speaking, most members feel it's a fair contract, and most members are relieved that we are past the point of negotiation and we have passed a yes vote to accept the board's proposal.
McMullen won't release any details about the contract until the Monticello School Board takes its own ratification vote October 17th. A tentative agreement came during a bargaining session Monday, a few days after union members voted to file an intent to strike notice. Concerned citizens in rural Champaign County say they still hope to address a judge over drainage plans for the Salt Fork River. AM 580's Jeff Bossert reports.
Champaign County Associate Judge Holly Clemens took one written objection then continued yesterday's hearing until later this month. That's before about 30 residents could voice their concerns. The judge will apparently consider only the written comments before deciding on the Upper Salt Fork Drainage District's increase in the tax levy for dredging, tree cutting, and other work. The proposal seeks a 400% hike to do work based solely on the advice of a consultant. The concerned citizens, most of them living near St. Joseph, say the district's proposal has good intentions but won't let residents have a say down the line. Clark Bullard with the Prairie Rivers Network says that sets a bad precedent.
So that's really a blank check with no future court oversight. And if other drainage districts who aren't so environmentally sensitive start employing that method, then they could wreak a lot of havoc.
Board members of the drainage district couldn't be reached for comment Wednesday. Residents may also seek out an attorney's advice as to why they weren't allowed to speak in court when a notice they received read, "Interested parties may appear and be heard." I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
A student group is challenging the University of Illinois to go a step further to make sure sweatshop labor isn't making apparel with the U of I logos. The university belongs to the Workers' Rights Consortium. It's an organization of colleges and universities whose code of conduct sets labor standards for the makers of T-shirts, hats, and other items. But a group called United Students Against Sweatshops says those standards aren't being adhered to. Organizer Allison McGuire says economics is keeping some factories from improving pay and working conditions.
Anytime the factory tries to make those improvements, their prices have to go up, and the companies that are putting in orders there say, well, we don't want to pay those higher prices, so they go elsewhere. And so the factories are essentially forced to make labor violations just in order to keep business.
McGuire says the designated supplier program would require companies like Nike, Russell, or Champion to use only factories where labor standards have been cleared. She admits it would make logo items more expensive, but only by about 25 cents for each sweatshirt. The U of I has not signed on to the new designated supplier program. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Scientists suspect there may be so-called gay genes that influence sexual orientation in some way, but so far there have been only clues and no definitive answers. And this line of research is controversial. The topic is polarizing. We begin a series on genetics called The DNA Files with a story about scientists' efforts to find out what determines our sexuality and what that means for the gay community. Illinois Public Radio's Lynette Kalsness starts a report at a laboratory at the University of Illinois at Chicago, where researchers made an unexpected discovery.
This is the pickup line of a fruit fly. The male vibrates his wing at one special lady and hopes for the best. It's a strange little hum, yet to the lady fruit fly, if it's Mr. Wright who's making that noise, it may translate into something like this.
Right, so he spots her, and then he'll approach her. It's kind of the equivalent of a human guy spotting a female and saying, "Ooh," and getting close and smelling her perfume and then being so bold as to lick her.
Now, UIC professor Dave Featherstone doesn't normally study fruit flies and sex. He actually studies how messages are transmitted in the brain. And in one particular experiment, he decided to tinker with a gene he thought might be related to Lou Gehrig's disease. And he did shed some light on that. But science can be a lot like a surprise party. A new postdoctoral student specializing in the courtship of fruit flies had just arrived at UIC to work in Featherstone's lab.
A few hours or maybe a day later, I can't remember, he pokes his head around the door of my office right there and he says, "Have you noticed that all the male flies in here are courting the other males?" I said, "No, I hadn't noticed."
It turns out the scientists had discovered that by interfering with a specific gene, they could change the fly's sexual behavior. When they broke that gene, male flies, which typically go after females, went after both males and females.
We wanted to give it a name based on that, but it had to be an accurate name. And genderblind turned out to be the accurate name.
Now, other scientists have manipulated sexuality in fruit flies, but this team took it one step further. They found that in the mutant flies, they could turn bisexuality off and on, like a light switch. And they did it by giving the flies drugs that changed the level of a chemical messenger in the nervous system.
It's almost a little far-fetched, right? the control of circuitry and complex behavior is a really tough nut to crack.
The big question, as you might imagine, is whether a similar gene or chemical would function the same way in humans. The answer to that is a long way off.
There's a limit to how much I think you'd want to take from the animal studies, particularly a very distant related species.
Northwestern University's Michael Bailey is one of the leading sex researchers in the country. Bailey and fellow Northwestern professor Alan Sanders are using genetic techniques to study 1,000 pairs of gay brothers. Sanders is leading the study.
So basically, we don't know how many genes influence this trait, although we're pretty convinced that it's not just one gene. Maybe it's 5 genes, maybe it's 10 genes, maybe it's 100 genes.
Sanders and Bailey hope their research will provide some answers about the role of genetics in male homosexuality. This is by far the largest study of its kind. A few notes of caution, however. Researchers are recruiting heavily at gay festivals where people are out and proud, and that may not reflect the whole spectrum of homosexuality. The scientists are studying brothers, so it's possible traits will show up that have more to do with being related and environmental factors than being gay. It also doesn't address female homosexuality. But Daniel Smith, one of the gay brothers who's volunteered for the study, is still hoping for answers.
I'm fairly confident that what comes of this will be what I've always felt for a long time. Who I am, who I love, who I desire has always been within me. The core can't change.
Smith's DNA will be scanned and compared to other men in the study. He hopes researchers do find gay genes because he says it would take a lot of pressure off of young gays.
You probably don't understand what's going on with you. And then you're made fun of because of that on top of it. It's a terrible thing that anybody has to go through. If I can stop that or at least slow it down a little, that would be great.
But there are plenty of gay men who view this sort of study with suspicion. And Tim Murphy, a bioethicist, says for good reason. He says being gay was considered a medical disorder until the 1970s. Doctors had tried shock treatment and testicular implants to make people straight.
By and large, the medical community made a gigantic mistake when it classified homosexuality as a psychiatric disorder. And I still think we're suffering from its effects to this day. I think a lot of gay men, a lot of lesbians mistrust medicine for exactly that reason, because they don't believe that medicine has their interests at heart.
Hundreds of thousands gathered for this year's Chicago Gay Pride Parade. Among them, Miss Phoenix, wearing glass platform heels and wings of ostrich plumes 15 feet across.
My deal with genetics, don't pick the way your baby's going to be born. Pick it the way God meant it to be.
Miss Phoenix is concerned the research could lead to a genetic test for gayness, and some parents would abort their babies or force treatment on their children.
My mom didn't have a choice in this, and I came out the way I am, and she's absolutely in love with me. She's my biggest fan in all my shows. She couldn't have gone to a doctor and asked for a better son, according to her.
I call myself a born-again Christian. I believe that all people are born with sinful inclinations that we actually have to resist in our lives.
Peter LaBarbera heads the conservative group called Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. LaBarbera worries the discovery of a genetic trait for homosexuality would mean greater acceptance of gays, and that will lead to more same-sex marriages and pro-gay employment laws.
If there was something that came out and there was a dramatic new study which says more than ever there's proof of some sort of inborn causation to homosexuality, it would not stop people like myself from believing that homosexual behavior is immoral.
LaBarbera questions why researchers don't study whether people who are gay can change. Back in his lab at UIC, Featherstone says scientists like himself are far from coming up with anything definitive on what makes people bisexual or gay. The fruit fly research only told him that by adjusting a chemical called glutamate in flies, he could enhance a certain message.
That same message, mate with that guy, is suddenly mate with that guy, and they do it.
But Featherstone knows this project is controversial, as long as society remains divided about the standing of gay people.
It's not our job to decide how the knowledge is used. We just gotta figure it out. And actually, I don't want to be part of that debate. And I'm glad I'm not.
Scientific research at this point can only provide clues about whether there's a biological explanation for homosexuality. Many people in the gay community are hoping it is biological. What they're worried about is how the larger society will react. They know the science here has the potential to be life-changing. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
You can see more about the DNA Files public radio documentary series. Go to www.dnafiles.org. It's a project of Sound Vision Productions in Berkeley, California. We have a very warm October weekend in front of us, and, well, a couple days before the weekend, it will be just as warm, according to our meteorologist Ed Kieser. It'll be sunny today across the two-state area, with highs ranging from 81 in far northern Illinois to 88 in the south. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, lows ranging between 60 and 66. And for tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine with a few scattered showers developing, and still warm, with highs tomorrow ranging between 83 and 89. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 4th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.